If you want to get out your message notes that you received when you came in this morning, and we're going to wrap up our series entitled Old School, and what we've been doing for the past 5 weeks is covering some things, some truths from the Word of God that we're going to read a scripture in just a moment. But how many of you know that you don't get it when you hear it once, twice, maybe three times? It takes several times to hear it. You know, there are messages that I was, matter of fact, listening to some messages. There was a set of tapes that I got, and I said tapes, right? Somebody said, what's that? It's a little thing that was white, and it had tape on the inside of it, for those of you young people who don't know. And I went back, and in 1978, my mother ordered a set of tapes from Brother Copeland, and Brother Kenneth Copeland, and I stole those tapes from her when I was a teenager, and I never gave them back to her. I still got them somewhere. And then when they came out with CDs, thank God, because when my old cassettes, after a while, they start making noises. You know, they start squealing, and then they don't sound good. And then when you leave them in the sun a little bit, they start getting warbled and all that. So thank God for CDs that have better quality sound. And then thank God for MP3s. See, you young folks don't know the struggle that we went through. Because I go all, yes, the struggle was real, yes. I mean, I go all the way back to reel-to-reel tapes, y'all. And then there were 8-tracks. Anybody have an 8-track player? All right, come on. Some of y'all afraid to admit you're that old, but you know you had an 8-track player in your car. And my point is this, is I went back and I got those messages that I listened to in 1978, and I listened to them again. And, you know, it's been 40 years since I got those almost, and you know, I still get something different from them every time. So you don't get it when you hear it just once or twice or maybe 10 times. And that's the awesome thing about the Word of God. The Word, Jesus said, my Word is spirit and it's life. You need to understand the Word is alive and it's not just ink and paper. When you go and feed on the Word of God, God has the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak something different to your heart each and every time. So that being said, let's go to our foundation scripture on your message notes there. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified translation. It says that we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard. Not that we're going to hear. Everybody, or not everybody, but there's a lot of people looking for a new revelation. You know, I love what Joyce Meyer said one time. You don't need a new revelation. You need a now revelation of something you've already heard. And so the scripture says that we ought to pay much closer attention than ever before to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and let them slip away. And so what God wants us to do is to hold fast to the Word of God, get it down on the inside of us. And so we covered in the first couple of weeks, we talked about some basic principles on faith, how to believe God. We talked about honor. We talked about integrity. And now this week we're going to talk about, and we're going to wrap this up in talking about courage. Courage. Everybody needs some courage. And so we're going to talk about it. And I had to go back and look at my notes. I don't think I've ever taught on specifically on the subject of courage before, but the Bible has a lot to say about courage. And so as I've been thinking about this for the last week or so and thinking about this message, as I was putting it together, there was a couple of scriptures that jumped out to me. Maybe you're familiar with them. And let's go back to the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. And let me lay a little groundwork. In the last chapter of Deuteronomy and the first chapter of Joshua, Moses dies and turns the leadership of the children of Israel over to his right-hand man, who was Joshua, and gives him leadership over the entire nation. And I counted it up between Deuteronomy and the first chapter of Joshua, the Lord says at least 6 times this phrase right here. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. He says this, be strong and of good courage. Will you say that with me? Say it, be strong and of good courage. Say it again, be strong and of good courage. Let's finish the verse. And for to this people you shall divide and as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And then he says it again in verse 9, almost the same exact thing. And he says, have I not commanded you? So this wasn't a suggestion. This was a commandment that the Lord gave Joshua. He said, have I not commanded you? Let's say it again. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so all of those times in the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, and then Joshua, the first chapter, the Lord says something really interesting. He said, be strong and of good courage. And I thought, well, that's interesting that the Lord put that way. And of course, I had to go back and do a little study to find out, why did he say the same thing over and over again? And why is it so important? How many of you know if the Lord says something one time, it's important? If he says something twice, it's super important. If he says it six times, it is really important, and we need to listen to it and pay attention. And so that phrase, be strong and of good courage, let me kind of define it for you. First of all, let me give you the English definition straight from the dictionary of the word courage. Here we go. The dictionary says courage means the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., whatever it might be, without fear. And so it's the ability to encounter life and all the things that come with life without any sense of fear or panic, and to be confident, to have that courage, okay? And so now that's the English definition of what courage means. Let me define a couple of other words that we're going to talk about in conjunction with this. The word discourage. Everybody say the word discourage.
Discourage.
The word discourage means, and when you put the word dis in front of a word, it doesn't mean like the young people say to do, I'm dissing you. But no, it says, okay, don't worry about it if you don't know what I'm talking about, all right? No, the word discourage means to take courage out. To take courage out of somebody. To encourage, you can probably figure this one out, it means to put courage in somebody. So listen, encouraging somebody is not just blowing sunshine. Encouraging people is not just saying stuff that you think they want to hear. Encouraging people is saying the right things that they need to hear that's going to build courage on the inside of them. And so we're going to talk a little bit about courage, we're going to talk about being discouraged, and we're going to talk about encouraging just a little bit. So that's the English definitions to give you just a general idea. But let's go back to that phrase where the Lord said, be strong and of good courage. Let me tell you what the Hebrew actually says there. It's kind of repetitive. If you literally translate what the Hebrew says, the Lord says this, have courage and be encouraged is what it says. And let me tell you what that means. It means this. It means be strong because of your courage, and then have courage as though you already know the end result. Okay, let me say that again. Be strengthened because of courage, but have courage because you know the end result. That's why the Lord would say, let's back up with me to Joshua 1:9 again. If you don't mind, on the slides there, I want to reiterate that verse. Look at what the Lord said. Have I not commanded you? Be strengthened. Have courage. And the word, when it's the reason it's translated good courage, means be strengthened because you know what the end result is going to be. Because he goes on to say, don't be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Listen, when God says don't be afraid because I'm with you, that guarantees the end result. And God had already told the children of Israel, go take the land because I've already given it to you. You'll overcome every enemy that's there. You'll overcome every circumstance. You'll overcome every opportunity. So you already know the outcome before you ever go into it. How many of you know that as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, we already know the outcome before we face any situation that we face? The Word says, oh, I feel a little preaching coming on this morning. Romans chapter 8 tells us, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So what we need to know is that I already know the outcome of this situation that I'm going into or I'm facing because God has already told me, so I can be encouraged because of that, and I can know, I can be strong because I know what the end result is. And so that's what God was telling Joshua over and over and over again. So that kind of gives you an idea of the definitions of those words and how they came about and what they're all about. But I want to address a question. If you're taking notes, let's look at your notes. And I want to address the question, why am I discouraged? Why do we get discouraged? Anybody in here ever been discouraged before? I have. Thank you. All of you who do not have your hands up, please pray for everybody that has their hands up. We all have been discouraged. Everybody has an opportunity to get discouraged. So here's what I want to do. I want to go to a psalm, Psalm 42. And what's interesting about this psalm is it's sandwiched right in between some psalms that David wrote. And there were some guys that David worked with. One of them, his name was Korah, K-O-R-A-H. And they also wrote a large number of psalms. And so this psalm, although it a lot of times gets attributed to David, Korah and his team actually wrote this. So here we go. Psalm 42, verse 1 says this: "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?'" Verse 4, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration." Verse 5, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar." Drop down to verse 11 with me, and he asked the question again, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." I want to give you three reasons that we get discouraged. There's more. This is not all conclusive. But I want to point out three things to you so that you can get an idea. Here's the first one. One of the reasons that we get discouraged, and this is one of the things you saw God remind Joshua about, the first reason is we forget, if you're writing this down, take this note, we forget that God is always with us. We forget that God is always with us. See, we forget that he is our ever-present help in a time of need. Sometimes we get into challenges, we get into circumstances, we get into problems and difficulties, and we think we're in it by ourselves. And the devil doesn't help, because he'll whisper in your ear and tell you, "Well, you know, you're the only one that's ever experienced this. You are so weird and strange. Nobody in the world has ever experienced circumstances like this before. And you are the only one. You are alone. You're by yourself. Nobody knows the trouble you've seen," like the old song. "But nobody knows how you feel. Nobody knows what you've gone through." And see, none of that is true. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Here's why: because he has experienced everything that is common to man. He knows what it feels like to have pressure put on him. He knows what it feels like to have difficulties. And so what happens is we get in those circumstances and we forget that God is with us. Look at this verse in Psalm 42 and verse 2. Look at what the psalmist said. He said, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" When can I go and meet with God? You know, I hear Christians, people today that are followers of Jesus Christ, say this: "I am looking forward to going to church," and you ought to look forward to going to church, "but I look forward to going to church because I'm going to meet with God there." Why don't you meet with God in your car? Why don't you meet with God in your bedroom? Why don't you meet with God while you're taking a shower? Why don't you meet with God while you're on your job? Because the Bible says he is with you. "I will never, ever leave you or forsake you." And see, what happens is we get in that situation and we get so overwhelmed with the pressure or whatever the challenges might be, and we forget God is with me right in the middle of everything that's going on in my life. See, maybe we have this wrong assumption that if God was here with me, then he would just do something and make everything work out right and come out like it needs to. How many of you know God has his part and you have your part? But we need to remember that God is always with us. You never have to ask the question, "When can I go and meet God again?" And it's interesting to me that the psalmist forgot that he can worship God anywhere. He doesn't have to wait for a special opportunity. Here's the second thing that causes us to get discouraged, and that is this: and we pay way too much attention to what the enemy is saying to us. We give too much credence to the voices in our lives that are speaking to us and to the enemy trying to introduce doubt and unbelief and failure into our lives. And look at what the psalmist said in verse 3 of Psalm 42. He said, day and night, now this is pitiful, y'all, and I'm not making fun, but it is pitiful. Day and night only have tears for food. Okay, even when I've been pretty down, I found something to eat, okay, but anyway. He said, day and night I have only tears for food while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? See, if you pay that much attention to what the enemy is saying to you, it is going to discourage you. It's going to pull courage out of you. Listen, be smart enough and knowledgeable enough of the Word of God to understand what is a lie that he's feeding you and what is the truth that you need to know. You need to understand when it's the enemy talking to you. When the Bible says that God causes us to triumph in every situation and every circumstance, and when that voice tells you, you know you're going to fail this time. There's no way out for you this time. There's no way you're going to be able to make it. Do you understand the difference between the two? Jesus bought and paid for your victory. The enemy's trying to tell you you don't have it. So we pay way too much attention to what he says. And then I thought this was really interesting. Here's the third one. We have withdrawn from the very thing God designed to give us strength. We withdraw from what gives us strength. Let's go to verse 4, Psalm 42, verse 4. Look at this. This jumped out to me as I was preparing this. It's my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. I remember, Pastor, what it used to be like when I went to church. But see, I haven't been in a while. And I remember what it was like. Well, let me ask you a question. Why did you quit going? Now, you know I'm not one of those confrontational type preachers, so don't get nervous. But I have to say something, okay? Listen, we withdraw from the presence of God. We withdraw from the very thing that God gives us to provide strength in our lives. And you know, it never ceases to amaze me when I encounter folks who are going through difficulties, and not just in our church, but folks that are encountering difficulties in their life, and they say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm so down. I am so discouraged. And I want to ask them, and sometimes I do, when was the last time you were in church? Well, you know, it's been a while. When was the last time you got to church and participated in worship? Hallelujah. See, listen, we don't take the first 25 minutes of every Sunday morning to kill time. I might just do this one day and just mess y'all all up. Preach first, and then we'll do worship at the end, and then everybody will get to participate in worship. But no, listen, I was thinking about this morning. You know, and this isn't a rebuke. It's just a strong encouragement. You need to participate in corporate worship with the people that love you and love Jesus as much as you do. You need to be in the room when words are being spoken like, my God is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He is my healer. He's the one that's on my side. He's fighting my battles for me. You need to be in the room. Well, somebody says, well, I don't like the beat of the music. I don't care if you don't like the beat or of the music or not. It's about the Word. And it's about giving you an opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I feel like crap, but I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to get it down on the inside of me that you are more than enough. You are El Shaddai. You are everything that I need. You are my all in all. You need to be in the room when worship is taking place, and don't be like these people. Man, you remember what it used to be like when we used to, and it used to be so good. And no, listen, it's like that every week. And you need to understand something. Listen, I'm big on MP3s, and one day, soon, we're going to be streaming services. I'm big on all that, but there is something about being in the room when worship is taking place. I'm telling you. And again, this isn't a rebuke. It's just an adjustment that needs to be made. All right? Because I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get off of it, all right? Because you don't know what it's like to stand on this platform and lead people in worship, and there's five people in the room. Hallelujah. I love you. That's why I'm telling you the truth. All right? I love you too much to just skim over it and not tell you what the word says. I don't want you to have to remember what it was like. I want you to be fresh in what it's like in experiencing the presence of God. I don't want you to have to be like, when I was at church 2 months ago, I remember what it was like. No, be at church every opportunity that you can. I understand you got to work. I understand stuff comes up. I understand there are things that we all have to do. However, when Brother Mattress and Sister Pillow are trying to get you to stay home, don't give in to it. So that's kind of what facilitates us getting discouraged. Why am I so discouraged? So let's get off that. Let's talk about how then do I encourage myself, all right? All right, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Follow along on your notes there. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and if you've been around church, you've probably heard a message on this right here, but it's a great point. And I've got to read it from the King James because of the way King Jimmy translated it. And so, verse 4 in 1 Samuel chapter 30, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Now, I got to maybe give you a little background on this. David and his 600 men, he had 600 men that were on his team by this time. He wasn't yet king. He was running from Saul at the time, he and his team had gone to battle to fight against the Amalekites that had come against them. And so they left their camp. They left their wives, their children, all of their belongings in their camp in a city name or a town named Ziklag. And so they went and fought the battle. Well, while they're fighting the battle, the enemy, the Amalekites, came in and destroyed their village, took all of their wives, their children, all of their belongings, and ran off with them all, every one of them. And so here the guys are tired, they're physically fatigued, they're probably hungry, they're just worn out from battle, and they come back to Ziklag, and this is what they see. The town going up in smoke, and everything is gone, all of their belongings, all of their family members. And so that's why it says, and then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept. And here's how bad it was. And they wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there. I probably have come close to that, but I don't know if I've ever been that broken down where I was crying and I had nothing else to give. And it says in verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Everybody say greatly distressed. Now, I want you to imagine, I want you to get the full impact of this. David is the leader of these guys. All 600 of these men now are looking to him to ask a couple of questions. Number one, why did this happen? Number two, what are you going to do about it? And then the pressure of all of this is on him. Listen, and then not only that, some of the folks got so mad they wanted to kill David. Look at what it says. It says, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I want to just... I got to bear some bad news, and then I'm going to give you the good news. The bad news is you're going to face some challenges in life. I wish I could tell you that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life is going to be great. You're going to just skip through the flowers. Everything's going to be awesome. The sky is always going to be blue. There's never going to be any problems, no calamity, no destruction. Nothing is ever going to happen in your life. You're just going to die and go to heaven, and everything's going to be awesome. I wish I could tell you that, but I would be lying if I did. No, you and I, even as followers of Jesus Christ, are going to encounter problems and situations of varying degrees, and we're all going to have to deal with these things, and you are going to have an opportunity to find yourself in the very same place that David was in, and you got a choice to make. Either you can focus on the other three things we already talked about and take yourself further and further and further into discouragement, or you can stop and do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, here's something that you need to understand. This is free. This wasn't in your notes. Actually, I didn't have room to put it, but here's something you need to understand. Before David even attempted to encourage his own men, he had to encourage himself. There are going to be times when it's not time for you to pick up the phone and try and minister and encourage somebody else. You need a little encouragement on your own, and nobody is calling you, so you're going to have to make some decisions to put your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on, and encourage yourself in the Lord. So what does that mean? How do I do that? I'm going to tell you how. Here's the thing you need to understand, is God won't do it for you. I know that sounds cruel. Now, God is a good God. He'll give you all the tools that you need to find encouragement. But if you're expecting, when you're down in the dumps, for the Lord to send an angel to appear before you, and all of a sudden the room gets filled with a bright light, and you hear the other angels going, ah, you know, and everything is just awesome, and all of a sudden a cloud fills your room, and there's Jesus standing in front of you. And he says, yes, I have come to bless you, my child, and to encourage you and tell you, don't give a stuppest. You're going to make it throughest. No, that is not going to happen. God gave you 66 books that you can find. Listen, you've got something that David didn't even have. David didn't even have the New Testament. All he was working with was the 5 books of the Old Testament, some historical books, and a couple of hymns. Most of the time, you're going to need to encourage yourself because God won't do it for you. I found this quote by Charles Spurgeon, the great revivalist and awesome preacher back in the day. He said this, "Some of the best talks in the world are those which a man has with himself. He who speaks to everybody except himself is a great fool." There are going to be some times when you need to have some conversations with yourself. When you're going to have to remind yourself what the Word says. You're going to have to have some conversations with yourself. Now, I can imagine David pulls up on the scene. He sees everything that's going on. His friends want to kill him now. He's having a great opportunity to be distressed and discouraged. And he goes back to it. And this is just the way I am. I just picture this stuff. So he goes back to what he knows. And he goes back to those days when he was by himself tending his father's sheep. And he had the opportunity to be with the sheep. And it was just he and the Lord out there in the pasture. And the Bible says that David was a musician. Now, you may not be a musician, but if you've got one of these, you've got the means to be a musician. All right? I'm going to show you how in just a second. But here's what David did. I just imagine that he sat in the ruins maybe of his own home where his wives and his children and his belongings once were, and everything's charred, and he gets his harp out. And I can just imagine that he goes back to some experience that he had 2 years prior when he had an opportunity to fight against the Philistine king Abimelech. And this is when he penned the 34th Psalm that we have today. So if you want to look at the 34th Psalm with me, I want to look at the first 8 verses of Psalm 34. David wrote this. He started out the psalm by saying this, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. I don't know. We don't have proof, but I believe I'm right. That this could be what David's saying, and this is what he encouraged himself in. So let me give you four ways to encourage yourself. Here's the first one. Notice what David said in verse 3. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. The first thing you're going to have to do is magnify God in your thinking. And listen, folks, it's not about just thinking nice thoughts about the Lord. It's all about perspective. It's all about how big do you see your problems versus how big do you see your God. You know, it's the old preacher saying that, you know, quit telling God how big your problems are. Why don't you start telling your problems how big your God is? It's all about perspective. It's all about how you see. Because, see, when David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, see, when you magnify something, you don't make it bigger than it already is. You just put something on it that makes it bigger to you. And, see, sometimes we need to stop and remind ourselves about how big God is. You know, this week, I was doing some stuff out in back of the building here, and I sat down on the steps, and I just began to look at the sky because, you know, you start feeling like you're pretty big and it on a stick. And so I was sitting there and I began to look up and I began to see the clouds and the beauty of everything. And I just realized, you know what? I'm not as big as I think I am. My God, who spoke one word and caused all of that to come into existence, is much bigger than I and bigger than anything I might be facing. See, it's all about perspective. How big do you see your God? And you have to make another decision while you're magnifying God, and that is this: refuse to magnify the devil. I got news for you. Everybody look at me for just a minute. It is not this battle in the cosmic universe where it's God versus the devil. The devil is on no way, shape, or form even the same level that God is on. He is a fallen angel. Psalm 8 says you are on a higher level than he is. Why are you looking up when you talk to him? Look down on him at the place where he actually is. Don't magnify him. Don't make him that big. And don't sit around and analyze your problem over and over and over. See, I can tell you about that because I have all my life struggled with worry. But worry is nothing but you trying to use your noggin to figure out how to answer your problem. And you ain't that smart. I am not that smart. So quit trying to analyze your problem and just going over and over and over and looking at it from this way and coming over here and looking at it from this way and looking at it from this way. So you can see if you can find the answer. It is not there. It's only found in your great God. Here's the second thing that you're going to have to do to encourage yourself. I'm out of breath. Can I stop for a minute and just... Okay, number two. Here's number two. Remember, put it back into your mind what the Lord has already done for you. David had to remind himself. Let me remind you of a verse back that we read in Psalm 42. Korah and his team said this: now I'm deeply discouraged, but I'm going to remember you. See, a lot of times we get discouraged because we've forgotten. We've forgotten what God's already done for us. Somebody said, well, I've already only been saved for a week. Listen, let me tell you how big that is. There is no miracle that God can do in your life that is any bigger than buying your salvation, redeeming you from hell, and giving you a brand new life and causing you to become a new creation. There is nothing greater. There is no greater miracle. So you've already had the greatest thing that God can ever do for you done for you. So if you have to stop and say, you know what, Lord, I've only been saved a week, but thank you. I remember how just a week ago I was lost and I was without you. But I prayed and I'm like David. This poor man cried, and you heard my prayer, and you answered my prayer, and you delivered me. You brought me out. You caused me to be born again. But there's probably not too many of us that have been that recently saved. See, some of us have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and Jesus has done a lot for us. And what the problem is we forgot what he did for us 10 years ago. We forgot what he did for us 15 years ago. We forgot what he did for us 3 months ago. You got to remember what God has already done. David said in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David had to remind himself, you know what? God is a prayer answering God. He heard my prayer. Now here's the third one. And I want to be very careful as I teach this one to you, but it's very important. Here's the third one. You need to inquire and require of the Lord. You need to inquire and require of the Lord. Let me read the verse to you out of the Amplified Bible. Psalm 34, verse 4. David said this, and I love the Amplified. It says, I sought, I inquired of the Lord, and required him, parenthetically, of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, there's going to be a time that you're going to have to inquire of the Lord. You're going to have to seek the Lord. And what I mean by that is the ideal time to do that is not when you're facing challenges. The time to inquire of the Lord is when times are good. It goes back to the old saying, if you will put the word of God in your heart when you don't need it, it will be there when you do need it. See, we only have a tendency. We're human. Human nature is, I'm only going to seek God. I'm only going to come to church. I'm only going to really pray when my back is against the wall and I really need God to do something. And God is merciful and he's gracious and he's kind and he will show up and he'll help you, but he's going to sooner or later hold you accountable and say, here, I've given you this book. I have spoken to you all throughout it. Why don't you put some of this in your heart before you need it? And then when you need it, it will be there. So you're going to have to inquire of the Lord so you know what God has already said. See, there's another psalm that says this, I have been young and I've been old. It's not me. I thought I'd just add that. Okay. I'm not Jerry Sims old. Okay. So he said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Now here's what inquiring of the Lord means. I find out that God said that. When I get that in my heart, then I can require of God to perform what he said. Now, I'm not saying you can boss God around. I'm not saying that at all. But there's another scripture that says, the Lord said this, put me in remembrance of what I have already said. Another verse in Isaiah, he said, come and let us negotiate. Let us reason together. See, what God is trying to get you to do is have a conversation with him that goes something like this. Lord, I have a need in my life. Didn't really plan on it. Didn't really count on it. It showed up. Or maybe I did do something. I made a mistake and caused this need to happen. However, God, your word says, David said, among a whole bunch of other promises, he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. God, your word says, you will not forsake me. Your word says that you will provide for me. Your word says that you will see to it that I am taken care of. Now, God, based on your word, I expect you to do what you said you would do. And here's what God's response is not. I can't believe you got that kind of cocky attitude with me. That is just downright rude that you think, no. God says, all right, man, say it again. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. Let every man be a liar and your word be true, Father, that you will not fail me. You will not let me down. It might not happen in 15 minutes. It might not happen in 30 minutes. It might not happen in 10 days, but it will happen, God, because you said it would, and I believe you will do it. See, some of us need to get a little guts about us and be like, there's some early Psalms in the first part of the book of Psalms where David went to the Lord. And I remember the first time I saw this, I was like, whoa, this guy's got some guts. He went to God and he said, God, I'm praying to you. Hear me. I ain't playing. Hear me. And answer me. Some of us need to go. See, we don't bother God. God ain't bothered by you getting bold with him. Matter of fact, he's been waiting on some of us to get bold for years. See, some of us, we go to God and we apologize. Lord, I'm so sorry to bother you today. I know you've got a lot of busy things that you're doing. You got millions and millions of children that you're trying to take care of. And Lord, yeah, I know that I'm not big on your list. And I, you know, I know, Lord, that it's just puny little old me, Lord. And if you could find it somehow in your way and your busy schedule to maybe kind of help me out a little bit, Lord, I surely would appreciate it. And I surely would appreciate if you could just squeeze me in just a little bit and maybe do something to help me out. And God is saying, what the world is that mess? Matter of fact, the Bible says he doesn't even hear it. Somebody asked me one time, what does the Lord do with all those unbelieving prayers that people say? And you know what God's response would be? What unbelieving prayers? He doesn't hear them. The Bible says he will scan the whole earth looking for a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that is looking to him to display his strength and his ability. The Bible says he is looking for someone that he can show his strength and how mighty he is on their behalf. All he needs is just a little faith. That's it. And when you and I go into his presence and we say, God, listen, this is what you've said. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't know what God says. Well, let me help you. We got out there on the way out. You can grab them, especially if it's for healing. There's like 60 scriptures on a piece of paper out there that you can pick up. I do it every day. I read those scriptures and I say, Lord, this is what you said. You said in your word that I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, I expect to be healed. I expect to be well. And I went to the doctor the other day and had a perfect checkup. Blood pressure was normal. Everything is great. And I started to tell my doctor, he's a good Jewish man. I love him dearly. I started to tell him, you know what it is? It's Jehovah. His name, his subname is Rapha. He is my healer. He's the one that gets all the credit for it. But God's looking for us to maybe inquire and require him to do some stuff. Make a demand on God's word. Number four, last thing. And I know David started the psalm this way, but I think it's a good way to wrap this up, and that is this. Make up your mind that you will praise and worship the Lord sometimes. No, it says praise. Make up your mind that you're going to worship God a little bit when you feel like it. Make up your mind that you're going to praise and worship God when all the circumstances are going like you need them to. When traffic is exactly like you needed to flow. When everybody on your job is acting like they haven't lost their mind. When everybody around you and your family is so well behaved and everything is going great. All your bills are paid. Everything is taken care of. No, the scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means you praise God when you feel like it. You praise God when you don't feel like it. You praise God when everything is going great. You praise God when everything sucks. You praise God when everything is going great on your job. You praise God when the whole day just falls apart. You praise God at all times. I can imagine David sitting there in the middle of those ashes. And he inquires and requires of the Lord, and then he sings praises when it looks like nothing good is going to happen. When it looks like he may never get his family back. When it looks like he may never get his belongings back. When it may look like it's all over. And it also may look like somebody wants to kill him. He still blessed the Lord. I want to go back to Psalm 42, verse 11. One last verse. Again, Korah and his team said this, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God." Now, here's what you're going to have to do. I will praise Him again. See, you need to understand something. Praise and worship is not a one-time event. Now, we do it here for a little while at the beginning of the service. We praise and we worship the Lord. But the only reason we do that is maybe to give you a little catalyst that you can take out of here and you can have something to worship and praise God with at home. If you've got one of these, you've got everything you need to worship God. Get you a little free Spotify account or Pandora, whatever you want, Apple Music. You can do whatever you want to do. Some of them are free. Go out there and get you a free account. Follow Spring Hill Church. Because we got all kinds of playlists for prayer music. We got worship music. We got all kinds of stuff all out there. And you can find it. You can put it on and you can say, "All right, Lord, I don't feel like it right now. I surely don't feel like taking any time to do this. But I'm going to take 5 minutes out of my day and I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to talk about how good you are. I'm going to talk about what a mighty God you are. I'm going to talk about how much I stand in awe of who you are, that you are the Most High God. There is nobody like my God. There's nobody greater than my God. I'm going to take some time, Lord, and I'm going to worship you today. I'm going to celebrate because you are more than enough. You are El Shaddai. You are the one that's a never-ending supply. Lord, I'm going to take just a few minutes today. I wish somebody would help me this morning. Now, I'm going to take just a few minutes today, and I'm just going to acknowledge you and how good you are. Matter of fact, let's just take about 5 minutes and let's do that. Stand up on your feet. Some of you need to worship. Some of you need to praise. Oh, Father, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Lord, we praise you today. We praise you today. Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, you're worthy of our praise, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, you are our victory. You are our all in all. You are more than enough. Hallelujah. You're my healer. You're my savior. You're my redeemer. You're my problem solver. You're my way maker when there seems to be no way. You are my all in all. There is nothing that I lack because of you, Father. Oh, I thank you that you're the Most High God. Oh, my problems seem great, Lord, but you're higher than my problems. Hallelujah. 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 Let me get some musicians up here to help me out. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. There's situations in the Bible where the degree of the victory that the children of Israel experienced was directly related to the degree of their praise. So I want to take just two more minutes. That's all, just 2 minutes, 120 seconds. And I want the degree of your praise to indicate the degree of the victory that you want in your life. It doesn't matter what you might be facing. It might not matter what your circumstances are. The Lord knows exactly. But I just double dog dare you to praise Him to the degree that you need victory in your life. Come on, let's lift it up. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when you find that heaviness beginning to come on you, the Bible says you need to put on a garment of praise. Take that old garment of heaviness off and put on a garment of praise. Put it on like you would a shirt. Put it on like you would a jacket. On purpose. Hallelujah. Premeditate some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord.